Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. We will start out today's readings with a front page story titled Tech Firm Coming to Bloomington Normal. Contech plans to use Eastside Warehouse, employ 100 workers. It is datelined Bloomington. A technology company that expects to grow to 100 employees is coming to Bloomington's East Side. Contech, a provider of reverse logistics, order fulfillment, and repair services to technology companies, is planning to locate a facility at 2402 East Empire Street. The company is accepting applications on its website, gocontech.com, and expects to employ 40 to 50 workers initially, with plans to grow to 100, according to an announcement from the company. Sarah Horner, the marketing manager for Industrial Developer AgriCell, which owns the building, said by email, "We are working with the City of Bloomington on permits. Occupancy in the warehouse is expected the first part of March, with occupancy of the office area in May," she said. Camtech, a circuit assembly and manufacturing company, is also a tenant of the building. AgriCell will invest $675,000 in its building on Empire Street to meet Contech's needs. It will use Bloomington Normal's Enterprise Zone Incentive Program to assist. That incentive gives them a sales tax exemption on building materials, explained Patrick Hoban, CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council. "It's great to have tech companies coming to town," said Hoban. He said the EDC was contacted about 4 months ago by a search firm seeking information about the area's workforce profile, but it did not identify who it was working for. Contech will lease 56,320 square feet in AgriCell's 225,000 square foot building, with a second-year commitment of plans to grow to up to 95,329 square feet. "This is an important expansion for our company and our customers," Joseph Joy, Contech's CEO, said in the announcement. "Adding this facility will enable us to offer our customers faster turnaround and lower transportation costs for their Midwest markets. We searched extensively for the right location and are delighted to be landing in Bloomington." The company has locations in Schenectady, New York, where it was founded, in Swedesboro, New Jersey, Charlotte, North Carolina, Silicon Valley, California, Brownsville, Texas, Matamoros, Mexico, Mexico City, Mexico, and Chennai, India. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner said, "Economic development is a priority for the City of Bloomington, and we stand ready to partner with AgriCell and Contech to get the job done." Dean Bingham, AgriCell's president and COO, thanked the city, EDC, and McLean County Chamber of Commerce for their support. The next front page story we're going to is titled, "Dog Retires to School. Boy's ex-service dog finds new role helping kids at Colleen Hoos." It's datelined Normal. When it came time for 8-year-old golden retriever Zephyr to retire, he didn't know what to do. A service dog of 7 years, the usually calm and relaxed dog began showing signs of separation anxiety. "Zephyr is a working dog. That is all he knows," said Dawn Otten of Normal, Zephyr's owner, and mother of Tyler Otten, for whom Zephyr provides companionship and service. "He's slowing down. My son is speeding up," I said. "What are we going to do with Zephyr?" "He's going to retire, he's not ready to retire, and the anxiety is heightened when we try to leave him home without taking him with Tyler." Tyler, age 13, has autism and requires significant help and support from his service animal. As Otten grew older, his mother noticed Zephyr was unable to keep up with her son. When it was time, Zephyr retired from his post, and the family brought a new service dog, Disney, home on December 24th. But Zephyr could not understand this new arrangement. For 7 years he left the house and went everywhere with Autumn. The dog began ripping out his fur and experiencing other symptoms of separation anxiety, prompting the family to discuss finding a new outlet for Zephyr. Dawn Autumn collaborated with kindergarten teacher Audrey Hensley, and after numerous talks with the principal and teachers at Colleen Hoos Elementary, Zephyr started his new position January 22nd as a therapy dog for students, and he loves every second of it. "That dog has done amazing things for my son," said Dawn Autumn. "He went from not being able to transition out of a classroom to being able to roam the halls of a junior high with the TA. My hope is that he benefits these students in this school like he has benefited my child." Autumn and her family adopted Zephyr when he was just 1 year old. He was bred and trained at Four Paws for Ability, an Ohio-based 501c3 organization dedicated to training and raising service dogs for children with disabilities and veterans. Service dogs and therapy dogs are similar but have some key differences, Autumn said. Service animals are trained to help people with disabilities, such as sight impairment, seizure detection, and even providing comfort to their owner. They are also protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act and are permitted in public spaces such as restaurants and other businesses. "When we first started looking at a service dog, our son was a huge runner and he gravitated towards water. It was a huge concern," Autumn explained. "He would get out of our house sometimes during the day, sometimes at night, and we wouldn't know where he went to. He has gotten out of our house and Zephyr has had to track him and found him." 2 years after bringing Zephyr home, Autumn's sons began having seizures, which Zephyr alerted to. Therapy animals provide comfort and emotional support to people, but they are not permitted to enter public establishments. One of the biggest differences between therapy animals and service animals is that people other than the owner are not permitted to pet the animal, Autumn said. People are encouraged to refrain from petting the dogs and engaging with them, which could distract the animal from performing its job. Transitioning from working as a service dog to a therapy dog was difficult for Zephyr at first. He was not used to receiving attention and affection from people other than Tyler. "And that is really what he needs, is to be loved," said Autumn. "So now he gets to have that attention that he has worked toward." Zephyr's new job begins promptly at 7:20 a.m. when Hillary Tanner, a social worker at the elementary school, picks him up. From there, Zephyr usually starts his day lounging in one of his corners in a classroom, providing comfort as needed to the students. Tanner said many of the students are already responding positively to Zephyr's presence. "Every classroom has seen different changes," she said. "It's definitely improved the level of happiness. He goes into the library with one classroom, and some kids who have never picked up a book because of some behavioral concerns are now picking up books and reading to him." While students are reading, Zephyr may wander the room, checking in on each child until he finds who needs him the most, said Tanner. "And then he will sit down and let the student pet him or read to him. Some students with high anxiety are allowed special time with him, or students may earn time to visit Zephyr to reinforce positive behavior. "I had a little girl who was crying really hard, and he got up from where he was and went to her and put his chin onto her to calm her," said Hensley, a kindergarten teacher at the elementary school who is friends with Autumn and her family. Hensley, whose son also has autism, had first-hand experience with Zephyr prior to bringing him to the school. Autumn and Hensley worked closely together to bring Zephyr to the school as a therapy dog. Though it was a tough transition at first, Zephyr is taking to his new role, providing comfort and a sense of calmness to many children with behavioral and cognitive disabilities. "I think what's so cool about him is that he adapts to the role of the room," Hensley said. "He kind of learned that first week what the expectations were, but he's just amazing like that. He is enjoying retirement now." And there are two pictures that accompany this story. The first photograph on the front page shows a picture of Zephyr at left checking in with a first grader at the elementary school. He stops by the school every day to work with the school's autistic students. And the second picture shows Zephyr walking down the hall on a leash with an adult and a child. And there's a student in the picture and the school social worker, Hillary Tanner, walking in the school's hallway. He has found the former service dog has found a second career helping the school's autistic students. We'll move now to local and state news. The first story is headlined, IWU Students Take Note. On Tag Day, they pen personal notes to thank donors. It's Dateline Bloomington. Illinois Wesleyan University student Emily Schirmacher has seen the Northern Lights. The environmental studies major has traveled north of the Arctic Circle and studied polar biology. It was incredible, said the junior from Lake in the Hills. If not for the donor-supported study abroad scholarship she received, I would not have been able to do this. And that is one reason why Schirmacher was helping to staff a table in the Memorial Center on Monday, where she and fellow students were writing thank you notes as part of the university's Thank a Giver Day. All of our current year donors will get a thank you, said Maggie Schnitker, Assistant Director of Annual Giving. That is more than 1,000 people, she said. The university has always thanked donors, but Tag Day has been going on for about 7 years, said Schnitker. It gives students an opportunity to thank our donors by writing a message of gratitude, she said. It's also a way to let students know more about where the money comes from to run the university, Schnitker explained. Large postcards were supplied, but students handwrote personal messages. Tag Day is celebrated in mid-February because it is the symbolic point during the academic year, about 70% through, when tuition dollars run out and support from donors, the endowment, and external grants covers the rest of the year. To drive home the point that tuition covers only 70% of the cost, cookies were served with a chunk of just under one-third missing. They were frosted in green, one of the school's colors. If the cookies weren't enough to grab the students' attention, Tommy Titan, the school's mascot, also made an appearance at the Memorial Center around lunchtime at the dugout eating area. In addition to the table at the Memorial Center, thank you note stations were also set up in the Center for Natural Sciences and State Farm Hall. Valerie Villanueva, a freshman from Chicago who is studying design, technology, and entrepreneurship, said she stopped to write a thank you note because I use a lot of the facilities on campus that they support, like the Idea Center, a makerspace, an innovation hub where students can work on class projects and create prototypes of their ideas. Villanueva said she wants to be a donor after she graduates. I want to design toys and hope to give back to the DTE program, she said. Schnitker said donations are really impactful for our students and it helps the campus keep moving forward. Wesleyan gave me so many opportunities, said Madeline Schmidt, a freshman in nursing from Naperville. I am thankful for the support of our donors and I'm applying for a scholarship that would send me to the Philippines. And the next story is headlined, German to Head County YWCA, Dateline Bloomington. Working with community partners to determine the best uses of lightly used spaces in the YWCA McLean County building, continuing the growth of school-age youth development programs, and building opportunities for formerly incarcerated women are goals of the new CEO and president of YWCA McLean County. Liz German, who has served in that role on an interim basis since June, was named CEO and president by the YWCA Board of Directors on Monday. She replaces D. Dante Latson, who accepted a position with a Denver-based affordable housing not-for-profit effective July 1, 2019. I am very excited and grateful for the opportunity German told the Pantograph on Monday. We will be continuing the initiatives we have been working on since last summer. I know Liz embodies the spirit of collaboration and passion that will lead us into the future, said YWCA Board Chair Tiffany Lawson Grant in a statement. Her commitment to advance our mission is only matched by her ability to forge partnerships that build our community by providing families and women access to needed programs. German, age 35, of Normal, joined YWCA McLean County in 2007 as a site coordinator for the before and after school program, and later was promoted to direct YWCA Young Wonders Early Learning and Youth Development before being named Vice President of Operations in 2015. Lawson Grant said that German, as interim, has led the YWCA through a phone procurement, which included the YWCA's new sexual assault 24-hour hotline, has worked with community partners to find innovative uses for the YWCA's former pool area, and has led entrepreneurial efforts for Labyrinth, YWCA's program of community reentry services for McLean County women who had been incarcerated. We are lucky to have a lot of space in the former pool and health and fitness areas, German said. We are working with other community partners to determine the best uses of those spaces to meet community needs. Among uses so far have been a cybersecurity class for high school students and a Heartland Head Start program, she said. German said continued growth of youth development programs and Labyrinth are among her priorities. Her annual salary will be $96,500. This next story is headlined, Koth Recognized as Public Works Chief. And I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. K-O-T-H-E. Dateline Bloomington. Kevin Koth was officially recognized at Monday's City Council meeting as the city's new Public Works Director. City Manager Tim Gleason announced January 28th that Koth would replace Jim Karch as Public Works Director. Karch has moved to a new position of Special Projects Manager. The changes were effective February 2nd. This is a very familiar face to the community and definitely to council and city staff, said Gleason, informally introducing Koth in his new role. It is a huge opportunity for us. This man is highly regarded in the community, internally and externally. I came in and ruined his retirement plans by asking him if he would consider being Public Works Director. After the meeting, Koth said, It's a great honor to be offered this opportunity, and I look forward to working with Tim and our team here at the city. There aren't any real big changes right off the bat, but just trying to refine our operation to make it as efficient as possible for everything. Koth, a 32-year employee of the city and city engineer since 2009, had considered retiring by April 30th, which would have resulted in the city having to make an accelerated payment of $202,190 to the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. The amount was estimated based on Koth's higher end-of-career salary, boosted by $83,606 in unused sick leave and $20,056 unused vacation pay earned since he was hired in 1988. The current structure has allowed sick leave payouts over the final 3 months of employment, which can spike the rate at which pensions are calculated. In some cases, that increase requires the city to make accelerated payments to the IMRF to cover pension costs. The estimated accelerated payment for Koth would have been the city's third highest since a 2012 state law began requiring municipalities to make those types of payments immediately to the IMRF for people whose end-of-career compensation spiked more than 6%. The city ended the benefit after April 30th, 2020 for classified, non-union employees and in labor contracts negotiated with several groups of employees represented by unions. Employees who wanted to retire under the city's current structure had to give notice by October 31, 2019, and retire by April 30. In other business, the council approved without discussion a site plan and a preliminary plan to subdivide a 17.9-acre site for a new Texas Roadhouse restaurant in the Bloomington Commons Shopping Center at 1701 East Empire Street, and liquor licenses for the proposed Harmony Korean Barbecue at 7 Currency Drive and the Bloomington Tennis Center at 401 Wicker Road, and an updated liquor license for Binney's Beverage Depot at 1409 Veterans Parkway to reflect expansion at its current location after Binney's acquired the adjacent former Outback Steakhouse. And this next local story is headlined, HSH's Night in Car Raises $69,000. It's Dateline Bloomington. 107 people spent overnight Friday in their cars, raising $69,000 for Home Sweet Home Ministries services for people experiencing homelessness. Home Sweet Home made the announcement Monday. The donors included the participants and another 400 donors for the fourth annual Night in a Car Homelessness Simulation event. The people in their cars braved cold temperatures from 7 p.m. Friday to 7 a.m. Saturday in the parking lot of Trinity Lutheran Church at 801 South Madison Street. The event is intended to give participants an idea of what it means to be homeless, in addition to raising money for Home Sweet Home. This year's event included a place where participants worked through four seasons of obstacles. Some of the 200 to 250 people who are homeless in Bloomington Normal each night live in their cars. It is gratifying to see so many people from throughout our community coming together to learn more about homelessness and to take action to address it, said Home Sweet Home CEO Mary Ann Pullen to the Pantograph. Half of this year's participants had participated before, and half were new to the experience. The majority of participants have pledged to participate again, and together we will continue to educate the community and support efforts to meet the needs of individuals experiencing homelessness. Last year's event attracted 150 participants who raised $90,000. The fifth annual event has been scheduled for February 5 through 6, 2021. And now we're going to read today's flick fact. The question is, true or false? When it comes to the flu, Illinois is the sickest state in the entire U.S., with almost 1 in 10 residents experiencing flu-like symptoms. And the answer is, unfortunately, that is true if you believe Kinza Health, a San Francisco-based health technology company, that says it tracks the flu faster than even the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And here's what it says. 9.14% of Illinoisans now have flu-like symptoms. That's followed by Michigan with 8.9% and Wisconsin 8.87%. And nationally, says Kinza, the rate is 6.69%. Last year, it was only 3.86%. And the thought for today is, we had better live as we think, otherwise we shall end up by thinking as we have lived. And this was a quote from Paul Bourget, a French author who lived from 1852 to 1935. And today's day in history, today is Tuesday, February 11th, the 42nd day of 2020. There are 324 days left in the year. The highlight of today is that on February 11, 1979, followers of the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini seized power in Iran. And on this date, in 1531, the Church of England grudgingly accepted King Henry VIII as its supreme head. And in 1861, President-elect Abraham Lincoln bade farewell to his adopted hometown of Springfield, Illinois, as he headed to Washington for his inauguration. And 100 years ago today, on February 11, 1920, this afternoon, Bloomington will take the lead in the state of Illinois by putting on the first electric show at the Coliseum. It promises to be a high-voltage fairyland of gadgets and appliances. At least 50 manufacturers and 45 local firms will be represented. And 75 years ago, February 11, 1945, Sergeant Emery Weed of Padua was killed in action on the Belgian front in December. He was a Leroy native who attended White School near Padua. Weed was in a tank division. 50 years ago, February 11, 1970, the 1971 federal budget proposed by President Nixon contains money for the new Bloomington Post Office. The amount exceeds $3 million, but the location has not been determined. It is expected to be between Empire Street and Oakland Avenue, west of Route 66. And 25 years ago, on February 11, 1995, five ISU students escaped their burning house at 310 West Willow in Normal when their dog awoke them at 3 a.m. Sarge the dog saved their lives and his own with his barking. And they weren't supposed to have a dog in the rental house, which was a total loss. And in today's area calendar, Tuesday, that is today, Valentine Gingerbread House Demonstration, 4 to 6 p.m. and 10 a.m. to noon February 13th at the Normal Public Library. The General Federation of Women's Clubs of Illinois McLean County Women's Club, 6:30 p.m. today, Tuesday, at the REMAX office in Bloomington. The program is Alzheimer's, All Women Are Welcome, 309-261-7453. On Wednesday, registration for Artworks with Michael Gia, 2 to 3:30 p.m., February 26th at the Normal Public Library, registration required at normalpl.org. Teen Maker Wednesday at the Normal Public Library. And on Wednesday, there is a Character versus Gender in Mathematics and Beyond lecture at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Schroeder Hall, room 138, Illinois State University, Normal. Speaker is Eugenia Cheng, a scientist in residence at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and author. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with the first half of the Pantograph of Tuesday, February 11th, 2020. I look forward to reading again with you soon.